Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport 2, myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon. If you love your boxing and you love your MMA, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and Gareth A. Davis will be discussing all the latest from the world of combat sports. Gareth A. Davis, by the way, is back. He's actually in the studio with us as well. On the agenda today, we're looking back on a strange weekend of boxing involving Evander Holyfield, Donald Trump, and David Haye. We'll also look at the heavyweight landscape with Anthony Joshua and Alexander Usyk's fight on the horizon, as well as the trilogy showdown between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. And we have not one but two very special guests joining us today as well. Chris Eubank Jr. And Maxie Hughes, the current IBO lightweight champion. Look, don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
We need to see the original Anthony Joshua.
The thing for Anthony Joshua is he can't come out reckless in the first five or six rounds, but he's got to start quick without being reckless.
Just wait till you hear the roar of these fans at the final bell for Maxie Hughes. Jab on the turn, raises a hand up, Strafford launches the left hand, and he's all done. And a famous victory for Maxie Hughes. Sean O'Hagan engineered the game plan to perfection.
Sure, you are some fighter, and you know what else? You are a great patriot, and we appreciate it. Congratulations. Congratulations. You know, Vitor, your stock was very high, but your stock is even higher tonight because you beat somebody who is, I don't know, I think probably one of the greatest of all time. There's no question about it, Evander. And we love Evander, and I know Evander.
I've always wanted that fight, and I've seen him go from strength to strength. He's got better and better, and his reputation's got up there. He's the lineal heavyweight champion of the world. So many people believe he's number one. But I'm looking for the biggest fight out there, and you don't get any bigger than the 6'9", undefeated Tyson Fury.
All right, let's get into this. Gareth A. Davis is in studio. I feel like that's almost like a... Do we have like one of those round of applause clapper things? Are you going to try and find one, Jez?
I thought you were going to put the Great Escape music on or, you know, Evander Holyfield's walk in or God, Stir It Up.
Yeah, Stir It Up. It's an interesting one. Yeah. I like Bob Marley.
Yeah. Nice walk in sound that would be, wouldn't it?
That would be.
Nice and relaxed.
It's good to see you, Gareth.
It's lovely to see you too.
I mean, Zoom and you've been in all these tropical locations was good, but face to face is actually even better.
We've got to feel the love and feel the energy today because there is so much to talk about in the fight world at the moment, isn't there?
So much.
We're in transition.
Where should we start? I don't know where to start. Should we start with Triller?
Yeah, go on. Let's do it. Let's do Triller.
Nonsense and Vitor Belfort and Evander Holyfield, 58 years of age.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said my piece on it. What was your overall take on the whole thing? Should we start with just the main event first? Because the rest, I mean, Anderson Silva, Tito, and David Haye fighting his friend. But the one that really irked me was seeing Evander Holyfield, who we know shouldn't be in the ring.
Do you know what? Fighting. The funny thing is, I finished here at 1 a.m. on Saturday night with Adam Catterall doing Fight Night. And I drove home and I had a little coffee and got some petrol on the way home.
Yeah.
And by the time I got home, it was like 2:15, 2:30. So the card was already on.
Yeah.
David Haye had already fought Fournier. Mm. And I thought, now I'm going to buy it and watch it.
Really?
And I watched it all live. And saddened, disappointed, felt it shouldn't be sanctioned.
Yeah.
But it was particularly the Holyfield fight because it was like a legalised slaughter.
Agreed.
And I'm so glad the fight was stopped so quickly. Mm. He didn't have any bearings. I completely agreed with Donald Trump's analysis. Where he said straight away, that's not Holyfield.
Yeah.
That's, I know Evander, and that ain't Evander. There's no more Evander. Yeah. And Evander Holyfield left it all in the ring, but it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Addy, I can remember being with him 13 years ago in Germany when he was fighting Nikolai Valuyev for the world title.
Yeah.
2008, he was 45 then. And it was kind of, yeah, okay, he's similar in physique to a George Foreman who won a world title at 46. There's something extraordinary about Evander. He's a stud.
Yeah.
Whenever you
he
run into him,
now, by the
he's
way.
Still a stud physically.
Yeah, it's incredible.
He is,
physically.
But it's an illusion.
Yeah.
And even then, I had a beautiful sit down with him in 2008. I said, why are you still fighting? He said, because I've got 11 kids. There's a lot of alimony to pay. And the last one's about to go to college.
That's
doesn't
crazy.
Need to be doing it anymore.
Sad that.
Sad that he called out Mike Tyson afterwards. I really don't think any commission in the world should sanction that man to get in a ring because he could get desperately hurt.
But they will, won't they? They will, won't they? I mean, let's be honest. Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield... We know what they'll do. They'll sell it as a trilogy fight. Remember the ear bite? They'll sell everything you possibly can. And they'll say it shouldn't, you know, it was the fight shouldn't have been stopped against Vitor Belfort. They'll sanction it. That's just how boxing
is. I don't disagree
with
you. I think it will. And I think we're going through a period at the moment where it's because digital media's taken over, because everybody's locked down, everyone's doing things from home, and it's accelerated during the pandemic lockdown. I think that the horses are bolted a little bit.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice to trap them back into the field,
yes.
Do a bit of corralling. I know we're gonna talk a bit of Usyk, Anthony Joshua, and probably a bit of Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder today. Hopefully in the next month, the big fights can just bring us back a little bit, because I'm starting to fade in my memory where the big fights are this year.
Crazy.
Because all I've got, Jake Paul, Logan Paul, Mayweather with Logan Paul, Jake Paul beating up Tyron Woodley, talk of Tommy Fury now fighting Jake Paul, Jake Paul and Conor McGregor fighting.
Yeah.
And at the
Silva
weekend,
fighting someone.
Well, even also on that card, Anderson Silva against Tito Ortiz. A wrestler who can't box in Tito Ortiz, who shot to pieces. He looked very hurt as well when he was knocked down by Anderson Silva. And Anderson hit him with his right hand, not his left hand, I think. And he's left-handed.
Yeah, you're right. It was a right hook, yeah.
And so David Haye nursed his friend through 8 rounds.
Couldn't believe that.
Yeah, well,
you don't
knock over a guy that's going to pay you, do you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, all right, that was an exhibition.
Then, he called out Tyson Fury after.
And then he called out Tyson Fury. Well, that's just ludicrous.
Mm.
8 years too late, mate.
Yeah.
8 years too late.
You had your chance.
Yes, be relevant. He was doing it. David's very clever at doing headlines. He did it against Audley Harrison years ago. He's going to beat him worse than so-and-so in the LA riots. If you remember
all the deliberate
headlines, all that kind of thing. Haye knows what he's doing, and, you know, we saw it against Tony Bellew in those two fights. You know, his body's fallen to pieces. He wants to stay relevant. Derek Chisora's gone with Anthony Joshua. They're not together anymore, so he needs a platform, if you like.
Yeah. You mentioned we can start talking about real fights, and we do have a big real one coming up in a few days' time, right? Anthony Joshua versus Alexander Usyk. 65,000 will be at Tottenham's wonderful new stadium. Finally, we've got something to look forward to, and it's a run of, fingers crossed, potentially good fights as well, because you got that one, then you've got Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, the trilogy, and then potentially as well, we're going to have Terence Crawford versus Sean Porter. So we've got some good stuff to look forward to, which should dilute the mess that's happening right now in boxing.
Yeah, I mean, I think is happening, and I think it's a good thing in some ways. Like, the biggest thing to come out of Triller at the weekend is they're not really boxing promoters. They're entertainment. I mean, the press releases afterwards were just an outrage. They were disgraced, saying, on a fantastic night of sports entertainment, give me a flaming, nearly swore, break. It's annoying. And I think you're right. I think the big fights will come along now. I do think the appetite for those kind of events is going to diminish.
Yeah. Because, do you really?
Oh, I do. Really, I do, yeah. Because it will play out. I think it's a fad. Mm. I mean, there's always been freak shows in boxing. Have I told you the story about Arthur Craven, the nephew of Oscar Wilde?
No.
I've told this story on air before, where you go back to the 1920s and the first African-American heavyweight champion of the world, Jack Johnson, was on tour in Europe doing exhibition bouts. Mm. And a guy called Arthur Craven, who was an intellectual and a Dadaist, a part of the Dada movement, the intellectual movement, fancied himself as a bit of a fighter. He was Oscar Wilde's nephew. So he went along to the French... It was the French light heavyweight championship, yeah? Mm. But he was the only guy to turn up, so he was bestowed the championship, yeah?
Yeah.
So he's now the French light heavyweight champion, right? Yeah. Jack Johnson's on tour. They're looking for someone for him to fight.
Oh, they didn't.
And he's doing a fight in Spain in a brand new bull ring in Madrid. Mm. Brand new spanking bull ring that takes 6,000 people. Arthur Craven, never boxed in his life, you know, apart from, you know, his own shadow on the wall. And the French championship, which he won by default. Says he'll fight Jack Johnson in this bull ring. 6,000 punters pay. Well, of course, once he sees Jack Johnson, Jack Johnson stands upright and starts pushing out his jab. But he was the first great defensive hitter, not be hit boxer with a beautiful jab and all of that kind of stuff and footwork. He gets touched, Craven. So every time he's touched, he goes down like an embryo, curls up on the ground, or he's running around the ring away from Jack Johnson. Well, there's a riot because people are unhappy about this. So they've all, and the police were called. They had to quell the riots, and people tried to lynch Craven. And so, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, 7'10" as he was going to fight Muhammad Ali in the 70s.
Yeah, remember that one.
The basketball player, you know, 12-inch reach advantage over Muhammad Ali. And, you know, they even had pictures together. I think... There's always been the Victorian fairground circus element.
Seems
freak
more
show.
Than ever now, though, doesn't it?
Like, without any question of a doubt.
Way more, yeah.
And I've got to say that what the Paul brothers are showing a lot of boxers, and Lawrence Okolie has acknowledged this recently, is these people are being noticed for a reason.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
It's inherent upon lots of boxers. I got a lot of energy today now, man.
It's good. It's what happens when you're in a studio.
It's inherent on a lot of boxers. Mm. When they're on a dais, when they're on a platform, dress up as Batman. We've seen it before.
Yeah, we've seen Tyson Fury do it as well, right?
And his cousin is Robin, or the Joker, or whatever, and have a scratch. Just do it. Be out there. Talk about things. Be open. Say you've got gambling addictions. Say you're broken inside. You know, say that you fight because you hate yourself. Project yourself.
Yeah.
Be
show us some of your personality,
exactly,
which they hide behind a lot. They let the promoters do the talking for them, which I hate.
Well, Jake Paul's even saying, look, I'm just sending boxing up. I'm being a D-I-C-K.
Yeah.
I'm being a troll.
And it's working.
He's saying it.
It's working.
And it's working.
It's working indeed. We are going to hear from Chris Eubank Jr. A bit later. The enigma that is Chris Eubank Jr. A fighter that I love, and I also, like, in some ways, come on, Chris, get in a ring with someone. Show me what you can do. I scream sometimes. I do.
He's coming in a minute.
Is he coming in?
No, he's not.
No,
I missed his press conference up in the Aldwych to get in here, actually. Yeah. But I got him on here, and I'll see him later. But I completely agree with you. This is the last fight, in my view, before the big ones.
Yeah, it's got to be big ones, this, right? It's got to be, right?
Yeah,
we've heard the big names, and it's got to be, because look, roll the dice. You're 31. He can fight. He's got the DNA of his dad. Let's see what he can do. So look, we've got loads to discuss on the show. I can't wait for it. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2 in partnership with DAZN. Remember, it's your boxing, your way, DAZN, game changed. After the break, we'll be joined by Chris Eubank Jr.
Please welcome the next gen, Chris Eubank Jr.
Sven Elbier, 18-1, solid fighter, tough, a good guy to kind of start this journey on with. And, you know, I've been out of the ring for a while. I got COVID really bad not too long ago, so I'm still kind of rubbing that off. This is a great opponent to get back into the ring with, and then we're looking for a big fight at the end of the year.
This is Fight Night Extra. Myself, Andy Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis in studio with us. It's been a good one so far. Loads to speak about as well on the show. Our next guest, a very special one, and we're lucky to be able to get the guest on, but this is a very, very special guest to have on, Chris Eubank Jr., who takes on Sven Elbier in, a couple of weeks' time I'm going to be very brutally honest with you, because I don't want to say, because Chris Eubank's on now, I'm not going to say what I want to say. I've always said, like, I think Chris Eubank Jr., for me, someone asked me, this is years ago, and said, who's going to be that next star? And it was when Chris Eubank Jr. fought on, it might have been, either AJ was on the card or it was an AJ undercard. Chris fought Spike O'Sullivan. And I said, Chris Eubank Jr. is going to be, let me tell you, and I put money down, I'm telling you now, the biggest British boxing star we have, because he speaks
6 years ago.
6 years ago, I said he speaks well, looks well. Look, I know you don't want to carry your dad's name, but you've got your dad's name.
He's full of cool. You can have. And tenacity.
And I've said he can go now. Like, he's now ready at 31. Totally. Keeps himself in great shape. Best shape. He's ready to go.
No mileage at all.
No damage. I mean, what tough fight. George Groves has come back well since then. I think Chris Eubank Jr. right now, and I'm banging the desk, it's good to go. It's good to go. Is he with us? Is he there?
Oh, I'm there. Here.
He heard all of that.
I'm here, guys.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing, bro? How are you? Good. Did you hear all of that, Chris?
He was going to say anything bad. So
he was silent. He was waiting for something.
No, he did all that before you came on air. No, he didn't at all. We were both waxing lyrical about you, Chris, before the show, and just saying that, you know, after Sven Elbier, who at the end of the day is 18-1, mm-hmm. and is going to see you as a target and as his world title fight, that we just want you to have those big fights.
Yeah.
Well, we're on the brink, you know. This is a solid guy. 18-1, he knows what he's doing. You know, my job is to get past him, and then December, a big name or a world title fight, you know, 100%. Obviously, I've had some issues over the last few months. Mm. Is the right fight to take at this particular moment in my career? And then after that, it's all guns blazing.
Chris, does it frustrate you? Like, we always talk from a fan's perspective, don't we? Like, oh, I want to see Chris in with that guy. And I'm like, well, Chris wants to be in with that guy as well. Like, I know you want a Golovkin fight. Billy Joe Saunders, we'll get to that. You want that, the Canelo one. Does it frustrate you when you see the likes of Billy Joe Saunders and Callum Smith going to America, and especially Billy Joe Saunders in front of 70,000, look spectacular? Does that not frustrate you when you're at home watching that, thinking, I want to be there, I need to be there now?
Well, listen, you know, I've had my fair share of big, big fights.
Yeah.
You know, haven't done that. So does it frustrate me? No. I mean, you know, I'm not hating on any other man's progression career. It's just up to me now to put myself in a position to where I am constantly in those big fights. And now that we're with Sky Sports Boxing, you know, the Salem brothers, Wasserman, that trio, it's a huge opportunity now for me to go and make these big fights and to display everything we've been working on over the last year and a half with Roy Jones Jr. over in Pensacola, Florida. So, I'm excited.
So basically, what did you make of Holyfield at the weekend? Do you think Roy should get back in the gym, in the ring? Because there's a lot of discussion about that kind of thing, Roy Jones Jr. And what do you think, now that you're on Sky, what do you think about raising the level of publicity? What do you think about what the Paul brothers have done? Because a lot of boxers are starting to see that the Paul brothers have actually generated a lot of publicity, and they won't be around forever. They're a fad, but it's bringing eyes to the sport. What's your view on all of that, the senior boxing and people going out of their way to create publicity around events?
All right, well, we'll start with Holyfield. You know, it was a shame. You know, you got a legend, an icon in the sport, and he shouldn't have been in the ring. You know, it's one thing having Roy Jones and Mike Tyson getting in the ring and fighting each other, but you can't have a guy of that age fighting, you know, an athlete like
Vitor Belfort,
who was an active fighter, an active MMA fighter, and a good one at that.
And a striker, and principally a striker and a kickboxer as well.
Yes. Yeah. You can't come off of a 20-year layoff and fight somebody like that. It's just not fair.
Yeah.
If he comes in there and does it with a Roy Jones or a Mike Tyson, then it's okay. But not these active fighters. That was a very bad move, and it was a shame. And I hope he doesn't do anything like that again, because he is a legend and he is a hero of mine. And it was not great to see.
He could have been seriously damaged as well. Seriously damaged.
Yeah, at that age, you can't be taking shots from these younger guys. You know, not that he's young, but he's young compared to him. You can't do that. It's just, it's not, it's dangerous, you know? On the other question about the Paul brothers, there is now a new wave. There's a new direction that boxing is taking, or you know, a new path anyway. Not that the old school is not there anymore, because it is and it always will be. But these YouTubers are coming along, and you know, they're getting in the ring, they're fighting. I think KSI recently signed with the Wasserman, who I'm with. Which is, you know, it's very interesting, and who knows, maybe we'll be on the same bill one day. And you know, how crazy does that sound?
Who's the A side though, Chris?
Let's not go into that one for now.
As long as it brings more to the table, is what it is, isn't it?
Well, that's what it is. It's business, it's entertainment. You know, these guys are bringing in serious numbers that you just can't deny. You know, the following that they have. These guys, they're getting people to tune in, and they're getting eyes on boxing that weren't on boxing before. So in that sense, it is, you know, it's not a bad thing. And I respect it. And on top of this, they are fighting.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a lot of armchair critics who say, oh, it's not good for the sport. And I, you know, it's disgusting. And, you know, they're getting in the ring and they're punching and having people punch at them in front of millions of people. That takes balls. That takes heart and courage, which 99% of the world's population do not have, including the people that are saying that they shouldn't do it.
Chris, sorry to interrupt you there, Chris. You know, I feel like you've got a massive sort of fan base as well, right? You're very popular on social media. You've got a following, obviously not like the Paul brothers. Not many people around the world have got it like that, but you've got it. We've seen you on Gogglebox as well. You've done some things there. Have you not?
Are you still doing Gogglebox? What do you think about that?
I actually thought it was fun.
You should be on things like that. You're lowering your standards,
no,
Chris.
Don't listen to him, Chris. Keep going. Keep going with it. Chris, listen, have you not thought of doing a YouTube
I'm doing
channel?
What you have to do these days, which is getting yourself
exactly
into a new audience.
Yeah.
I've got grandmas and little girls walking up to me. Oh, I saw you on Gogglebox. I love it. And these are the people.
You're the guy off God on Gogglebox.
Yeah, yeah, literally, like they know nothing about my boxing. Oh, I love you on Gogglebox. that's what I'm getting now. So, and they're new fans now that will now come to my fights or tune in and watch me fight. So it's a good thing.
Mm. It is a good thing. Chris, have you thought of like starting up like a proper YouTube channel, like a kind of a sort of follow Chris Eubank Jr. around type thing? Because every time we see you do things like that, I find it entertaining. When we, you know, you see your big house and the nice McLarens, and we enjoy that. I like looking at the watches. Have you thought of kind of doing something like that permanently?
You know, I'm a busy guy and I am dedicated to sport, so it will be tough for me to have like a full dedicated YouTube channel like a lot of these YouTubers have. But you know, I'm active on social media. You know, could I put more content out? Sure, and you know, maybe I will over the next couple of years. We'll see.
So, final question. Well, let's go back to the boxing, because we could talk to you about all these things all day long. He's got layers, this guy. He's got layers. I've said it from the beginning anyway. Mm. You know that, Chris. I've said it from the beginning, Chris. I've said that, for me, you're nailed down as a star in boxing.
Nailed, and you, by the way. Nailed down, agreed.
Nailed down.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely nailed down. Chris knows himself. He just needs to finesse, and Roy is brilliant with him, and you know, I think I've spoken to him about 10 times about his relationship with Roy now, and it looks amazing. The boxing. So you get this guy out of the way, Sven Elbia. Mm. Are there talks already about the Golovkin fight, or will you pursue Canelo at super middle, or what's the strategy? Is there already a push to design early next year or late in the year?
Well, December is a big name or a world title fight. There's so many names out there. You know, Charlo Andrade, Liam Williams domestically is a fight that a lot of people have been talking about.
Yes, sir.
You know, Saunders, Canelo, Golovkin. It's, you know, the list is...
Look at those options. Look at those options.
Okay.
You know, so... You know, is there a guy at the top of the list? Sure. Yeah, I would say Golovkin is at the top of the list, but you know, you can't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, and I don't need to. There are great, great fights out there to be had. For me personally, it's just about being active and giving the fans what they want to see. If they want to see a fight, that's what I want to give them.
Golovkin in the UK, Chris, would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That would sell big.
You know, there's talks about him supposedly maybe fighting Murata, who I'm supposed to be mandatory to fight now. But, you know, due to COVID and other situations, that fight may not happen. I don't know. So, you know, would he then be able to come over here? We'll see. But as I said, there's so many names out there, you know, and they're all going to be able to be made over the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
So, and on Sky Sports Boxing, which is, you know, just amazing.
Chris, really appreciate you coming on, my man. Thank you very much.
Good luck. Speak to you later.
Against Sven Albe. Remember that fight 2nd of October should be a good one as well. As Gareth said, I mean, Sven Albe's only lost once and he'll come to fight. He's got a few knocked out as well.
He's not 13 or something. So
he can crack a bit. I mean, it's 13 KOs out of those 18. All right, you listen to Fight Extra here on TalkSport 2. I told you, we've not just got one superstar guest. We've got another one up next. Maxi Hughes will join us as well.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wait till you hear the roar of these fans at the final bell for Maxi Hughes. Jab on the turn, raises a hand up, Strafford launches the left hand, and he's all done. And a famous victory for Maxi Hughes.
And the new IBO lightweight champion of the world, Maxi.
This is Fighting Extra, Adi Oladipo and Gareth A. Davis. Look, we just spoke to Chris Eubank Jr. It's not often we get two very special guests in one afternoon, but times have changed. We've gone up another level. We really have. And we've got Maxi Hughes now joining us, the current IBO lightweight champion. I was there for what was an absolutely cracking evening at the Emerald Stadium in Headingley.
Yes.
And Maxi Hughes really did bring the house down. He really did. He came out and, look, let's just welcome Maxi in because I want to tell Maxi this. Like, I'm going to be honest. I interviewed Giovanni Strafford, Gareth, and I was like, oh, Maxi Hughes, this is going to be tough. Like, I interviewed him, and he said to me, how are you going to beat Maxi Hughes? And he was like, Maxi Hughes is the stone, and I am the water.
Yeah.
And I'm literally just going to be... And I was like, oh,
the old Bruce Lee.
Yeah,
and I was like water, yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Won it easily.
Yeah, and then Maxi's destroyed
UD.
Him. Yeah, and I was like, hello.
Yeah.
Maxi, welcome in.
Now then, how are we?
Yeah, not bad, brother. Are you on the building site or you're okay right now? Can we talk to you on the building site?
Yeah, what I've had to do is I'm in van. I've had to pull off at Motorway. I'm on my way home. I was trying to get home so I could do it on my computer, but I've had to pull off at Motorway. There's been some traffic, so I've dived off at Motorway.
It's quite bad on the M6, isn't it?
M1 I'm at. Well, I've been on A1 and then I've moved across to M1 and that's just as bad.
This is like a Rocky story. Like, first of all, Maxi, I thought it was the Cinderella story just because, look, I know there was talks about you potentially retiring after Sam Bowen, then you get the Jonah Carroll fight, then the Paul Hyland, and now Giovanni Strafford, and then you're telling me you're still working on a building site.
Yeah, I've been crushed back to reality yesterday on my first day back, and, you know, people don't believe me, and it sort of doesn't do my win any justice when I say I've won an IBO world title and they say, oh, it can't be that big. You're still at work. Yeah. You're still with the rest of us. Yeah. And I have to say, no, it were a big fight. Honestly, I'm not making it up. You know, for the people that don't really follow it, but you know, amongst respectful people in boxing, they know what it means and they know the achievement, and that's what counts.
It's fascinating hearing you. Like, you're on your way home from work. It's been a miserable day. You've been outside. People would imagine that, you know, what was it, 9 days ago that you won. That you'd have your feet up and you'd be heading somewhere to the warm for a 2-week holiday.
Conor Benn's just gone on a private jet. I saw it with his missus. Yeah, you saw that, right?
Yeah, but I'm going to give it to him to his face. Different. He's becoming a bit of a Billy Big Time, isn't he, Maximus?
Yeah, Connor got on a private jet to go back down to Essex, and I get him my van.
You know what, Maxie?
I tried to leave the venue after 5. It had all finished. Everybody had gone home, and I wanted to cross over the pitch to get the quickest way to the car park. And the security guard says, "Sorry, mate, if you've not got no ticket, you can't come across this way." I says, "I've just fought."
Yeah.
"Oh, yeah, but it don't matter, mate. If you're not got a ticket, you can't come across." I says, "Jesus Christ, I just want to get to my car and go
home. What do I need to do? I've just had a 12-round war with this tough Mexican that didn't want to go down in round, what was it, 4 or 5? You know, one thing, though, Max, I remember coming to you in the change room after, I think Coogan had interviewed you, and I said, "Look, you got to get paid now, Maxie. That's all well and good, right? You've had those fights against Paul Hyland and Jonah Carroll." I said, "Okay, now use your belt to get leverage. Even if you have to go over to America and it's a risky one, you've got to get paid next in your next fight."
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that I got laughed at last year. You know, people thought it were a joke when I called Devin Haney out when I won the WBC International. Well, that, you know, that's now a serious proposal. I've heard an interview with Devin's dad, Bill Haney, who's his trainer and manager. And they watched the fight and they've given me credit for that win and gave me credit for calling him out. And they've also said that it's a fight that they'd like, the IBO title, something that they'd want in their collection. So, you know, it's no longer a joking matter. People are taking me seriously after that win.
And they should take you seriously as well. Was you ringside for Josh's fight? Had you like cleaned up and come out by then?
Well, again, I just finished my drugs test. But again, because I didn't have a ticket or a wristband, the security says, if you go out of this tunnel, you won't be able to come back in. So I watched it from the tunnel.
That's unbelievable.
You know, where that tunnel was for the ring walk, I watched it from there. So I didn't have a clear view, but, you know, I've since watched it back.
The reason I asked that, Max, is because, look, I've maybe exaggerated a bit, and I know Gareth's probably going to bring me back down to earth here, but I've been to a lot of boxing matches, and when he came out, that was that atmosphere there. It was ridiculous. It was like there was 100,000 in there. And I tried to explain to someone, I was like, I've been to a big AJ fight, but the thing with AJ fights is that, you know, the wives and the kids turn up and it's all nice and it's lovely. Everyone's singing Kumbaya. With Leeds, with the Leeds guys, it literally is 20,000 football fans.
Can I add something to that as well? They all have a drink and they all behave themselves as well.
Yeah.
Then that's what you're safe walking back.
Mm.
And I will add to that. Let me ask you, Maximus, because I like to call you Maximus. Because I want to give you your full ring sobriquet. How concerned were you last Saturday night? Obviously, there was the headbutt and the eyelid cutting open. You're very, obviously very close to Josh Warrington and Sean, his father, because you work with them. How concerned were you with him taking the second Mauricio Lara fight?
I wasn't concerned at all. Being down there in February fight week with Josh and seeing him after and speaking to him after, you know, he explained what had gone on, and you know, it was fully prepared physically. Josh is somebody that does not cut corners in his training. You know, every time he comes to the gym, it's 110%. Every time, he will never cut a corner. I think it was just a slight lapse mentally, slight taking your eye off the ball, looking what possibly can be in the future, these unification fights and going to the States. So it wasn't the 100% Josh Warrington we all well and know. So when he explained his reasoning, you know, well, he didn't really need to explain it to me. He wanted his redemption. He wants to beat every man who he steps in the ring with. And I can't fault him for that, because it's, you know, it wasn't himself. So Lara didn't beat the 100% Josh Warrington. Josh wanted to go in there and say, look, you won't beat me when I'm 100%. And I'm gutted for Josh for the outcome of last Saturday night, that he couldn't get his redemption. It's just a really frustrating way to end it.
But no, Gareth, no
concerns about him getting in, because I'd trained all the way up in camp with Josh, and I saw how much it meant to it and how much he was putting, you know, if it's possible for him to train even harder, he was doing that, and it was just on it, 100% on it.
If in my view, because of the cut eyelid now, and it might take a few months, my view is get back in there, because the featherweights we have at the moment knocking about with world titles, I know he's fought him already, Kid Galahad, Lee Wood, I'm forgetting someone here.
You can potentially say Michael Conlon.
Michael Conlon, yeah. As well, yeah. There's a great gathering of featherweights. Does he need to wait now to do this trilogy fight as it is? Shouldn't he just be cracking on now?
I think so, yeah, because like you say, it was a horrendous cut, so Lara's going to need six to eight months
yeah,
out.
There
yeah,
you go. There you go.
So yeah. It can heal. So, you know, Josh has not got a mark on him, and
no. Obviously
he's had to wait a long time to be able to get the rematch. And now with what's gone off, he'll want to fight. He'll want to have his three fights in the year. And who knows? Maybe Navarrete, Gary Russell Jr. might look now and think Josh has passed it, and they might say, "Oh yeah, well we'll have that fight now." And that could create another opportunity for him and possibly to go to America. So, you know, if an opportunity comes, I think he should take it. I know he does, you know, he obviously wants to put that right with Lara, but, you know, I don't think he should hold out, you know, because the old Lara saga then could be over a year from February of this year to when Lara will be ready again.
Maxie, let's take it back to you, Maxie.
Yeah, take it back to you.
Let's run back
Lopez,
to you.
Lopez, really Davis, Haney.
There's so much out there, isn't there, for you.
Garcia.
What do you want next? I mean, you said Haney, potentially, if that doesn't happen, I mean, are we looking at an all-British dust-up, or are you wanting just to go over to America and have that kind of night in the sun over there, big arena, Madison Square Garden, maybe somewhere in Vegas? What do you want next?
Yeah, I'd really love America, you know. As I've said in interviews, when I turned pro 11 years ago, I never had ambitions to be a world champion. You know, only after a year or so, I gained some aspirations of becoming British champion. Mm. I've achieved that, and now I've gone on and won the IBO world title. So now my confidence is flying, and I want, you know, as well as these big nights, I want to reward myself financially and help make my life after boxing a little easier. I've had enough of building sites. I don't want to be on them for the rest of my life. I want to get some money to be able to invest or, you know, do something that I really, really enjoy. So yeah, the nights I want are over in the States.
And you deserve them as well.
Big
Maxie.
Money fights. Yeah,
you deserve them. Quick one, just before I let you go. What was it, round four, round five, where you hit him with everything but the kitchen sink? Everything.
Yeah,
how was your feeling
five,
where he
yeah.
stood there? I mean, it's testament to your gas tank, because I was like, Maxie might have blown a gas tank here, because you literally landed everything, but he didn't go down.
No, and I'm, you know what, when I watched it back the other day, and I'm so mad with myself for that fifth round. Caught him with the perfect overhand left. His legs had gone. And I think he was there ready to be taken out, but
yeah.
I rushed in. I got caught up in the moment with crowds. I heard all the roaring and I just got too giddy and threw about a 300-400 punch combination. And I kept smothering my own work. And now looking back, I'm saying, why didn't I just stand back, take my time, a few jabs, and, you know, I could have saved myself seven rounds.
Yeah, but honestly, Maxie, look, career best win. You've had some good wins. You really have. When everyone doubts you as well, every single time you rise to the occasion. And I think the doubting now stops. And good luck for whatever it is. Fingers crossed it is a big American fight. Fingers crossed you do get a nice payday. And fingers crossed that's it for the building site as well. Right? I mean, you've got that in your back pocket if you need to. But let's hope you can get on. Maxie, great for coming on. Really appreciate it. Get back on the M1. Get home. Thank you very, very much. All right, you're listening.
Thank you.
Cheers, Maximus.
Cheers. You're listening to Extra here on TalkSport 2 in partnership with DAZN. Remember, it's your boxing, your way. The Zone game change. Next, we look at the bizarre weekend, which saw Donald Trump commentate on Evander Holyfield's fight.
I'd only come back for Tyson Fury. Okay? In my mind, I don't want to show him what I've got. You know, I was able to win this fight without showing the haymaker. I don't want him to know what I've got left. I want to surprise him on the night.
Well, if I had to pick somebody in the world, not only a professional boxer, because I'll take a pass on the professional boxers, that can be a very dangerous subject. But if you said, if I had to box somebody?
Anybody.
I think probably my easiest fight would be Joe Biden, because I think he'd go down very, very quickly.
This is Fight Night Extra. Myself, Andy Oladipo, and Gareth A. Davis. Look, Gareth, we've spoken about the mess that was in the weekend, the Triller event, Donald Trump commentating, David Haye versus his best friend Joe Fournier. We still, Anderson Silva versus Tito Ortiz, which was probably, honestly, was up there as bad as Vitor Belfort for me versus Evander Holyfield. But look, Holyfield's a story. We've heard Chris Eubank Jr. had his say on it as well, which I find interesting. Final word, will it happen again? It's probably likely to happen again, right?
You can't guarantee, Eddie, that it's not, because the thing is about these kind of events, as I get my neck tangled up in the in the headphone cord and the microphone, and it, yeah, that was me nearly killing myself live on air.
Yeah.
I felt like that on Saturday night anyway, but it could happen again.
Yeah.
It shouldn't happen again. Mm. David Haye is, you know, like, if Tyson Fury had bitten... Mm. He would have taken it.
It's going to be others, though, isn't it? Even if it's not Tyson Fury, I mean, the chances of
Mike
it being
Tyson against Mike David Haye,
Antonio Tarver, I've been hearing, Shannon Briggs, Tony Bellew, which would do good. Tony Bellew.
He's just angry, though, isn't he?
With Tony Bellew.
He's just
always
angry.
And if David Haye calls him out, and they put $1 million on the table, he'll take it. Not trying to say he needs the money, but I think he'd want to fight him and knock him out again.
I think when you see. I think I read that Tommy Fury got $700,000 fighting Anthony Taylor on that.
I don't think it was real.
Do you think?
Yeah, there's the guy that trolls everyone and puts it out there.
I think
he did it last time. Yeah, he did it last time, and Tyson Fury retweeted it, and it was wrong. He does it all the time.
Oh, it wasn't $700,000 then, because that was a good night's work for him.
That would have been a really good
against an MMA fighter who barely had a boxing match.
Yeah, that would have been a really good night's work.
You know, to underline this and put a full stop on it, you know, which we both have to do, and you know, it's the right thing to say, is that it cannot go any further than this. I think we saw the limit on Saturday night, allowing a 58-year-old man, and Chris Eubank Jr. agreed with us earlier, allowing a 58-year-old man to be beaten up by a younger, fresher individual who's 16 years his junior, who can punch.
Yeah, I mean, Vitor Belfort, like you said, is a striker. That's what he's been known for.
Yeah. He's got a very heavy left hand.
He's knocked out a lot of people.
And he's
vicious.
When he saw Amanda Holyfield,
he wanted to hurt him.
He did.
There was a bit of spite to it all.
He
smelt blood and was like, I'm going to hurt you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
11 punches too many.
He's called Canelo, Logan Paul, Jake Paul. He's called everyone Vitor as well.
Yeah, I know Vitor well. He's mad, but he's nice. And he's very religious.
It's funny.
But God goes out of the window when he fights. 110%.
You know? Let's put a full stop on that. Let's talk some serious boxing.
Yep.
AJ versus Alexander Usyk, September 25th. It's just closing. I mean, it's 11 days away. 11 days away? Yeah.
Yeah.
11 days away until that fight.
But really, it's Monday, because the workout's on Monday. So we're there. I mean, I'm writing previews already. You know, we're looking ahead already. You know, I feel the excitement. I'm looking forward to getting up close with them now and sniffing them all week.
Yeah.
And just getting that, the ambience of the, and making your mind up. Like, I might decide on Wednesday, being around Usyk enough,
that's how
he's
going to
beat. It is
how, that's how it
it's
works.
Why we're there. It's why we go.
You look at them, you think, oh.
Yeah.
You know, like, everyone's now saying AJ looks a bit small. I went to Sheffield and I saw him, and if that's small, then I don't know what small is. He's still a man mountain as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
But I asked him about the weight. And he was like, he's not really focused on the weight anymore. He says he does his training activities, and if the weight comes off, it comes off. He's got his food that he eats, and if it comes off, it comes off. Whereas before, I think he admitted he wanted to look good on the scales and look really bulky. Now I think he's really fully focused on the job.
Yeah, and I think he needs to be fast. I mean, Usyk's a smaller, fast man with great footwork. He's very elusive. He's got massive amateur pedigree, 400-odd fights, barely lost, used to being in with the big guys. We know he can handle the likes of Joe Joyce. Joshua has a little bit more finesse about him and speed, and he's an amazing finisher. And Usyk knows that if he gets trapped by Joshua, he's in trouble. And Joshua will be aggressive in this fight. He's going to be aggressive with his footwork. He's not going to sit back like he did with Pulev and just sit back and jab. He's not going to do a jabbing match with Usyk. He's going to put him under pressure. That is the way he beats this guy, in my view. Just doesn't sit back and doesn't allow Usyk to get any kind of rhythm.
We spoke about boxing being back, and with AJ comes 65,000 fans as well. Yes, it was a few thousand when he fought Kubrat Pulev. 65,000 will be there for this. I mean, and it's a stunning stadium as well. That's what we need. We need a big event, and it's coming.
It's not the road to Undisputed at the moment. Let's dub it something else, which is the Rescue Act.
Oh, I like
the
it.
Two heavyweight title fights coming
that.
Up.
Copyright that.
Yeah, I've forgotten what it's called already. Yeah. The Rescue Act. It's a fortnight of the Rescue Act. September 25th, then over to Vegas, October the 9th, for Tyson Fury to defend the WBC title against Deontay Wilder. Those 2 weeks could determine Usyk against Wilder for the Undisputed, Joshua against Fury for the Undisputed, or any other ramification.
Wouldn't mind Joshua Wilder.
I wouldn't mind Joshua Wilder. That's an exciting
could be worldwide.
Fight.
It's a bigger fight.
Usyk and Fury. I'm not sure about that one. Fury wins the Battle of the Jab very easily in that one.
That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.